I don't know how to know the truth about anything anymore. Tim Ryland from Catholic Answers Magazine helps me. Next. Hello and welcome to Focus, the Catholic Answers podcast for living, understanding, and defending your Catholic faith. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And when it comes to certain things, it's easy to know the truth. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. For example, I believe what the church teaches. But I don't know the truth about a whole lot of other stuff. And part of why I don't know the truth about it is because the more journalism I read, the more disagreement I encounter. And I'm not just talking about opinion journalism. I'm talking about journalism that's supposed to be just objective journalism. It doesn't agree. And so how am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to sort through that and find the truth? I think this was particularly difficult this year, in the year of COVID, in the year of the election, in the year of so many crises. It was very hard often to feel certain that you had come to the truth, no matter how much journalism. As a matter of fact, it got worse the more journalism you exposed yourself to. So we decided, let's have Tim Ryland. He's a lifelong journalist and the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine. Let's have him in and we'll talk about how do we find the truth amidst all of this confusing journalism. Tim Ryland, editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, thank you for being with us, first of all. I appreciate you being here.
Always enjoy it.
You've been alive for hundreds and hundreds of years and a journalist for almost all of them. Is that right?
Half of them.
You've been a journalist for half of your years?
Half of my hundreds of years.
Oh, half of your hundreds of years. Okay.
Actually, no, about half. I'm in my early 60s and I've been a journalist for...
Half a century?
A little bit more than... Well...
Well, I'm sorry.
Let's say three decades.
I thought you started when you were like 11. All right. Well, first of all, the sad news of 2020, I mean, if you had to add it all up and say what really hurts this year, Eddie Van Halen died.
That did hurt.
That hurt. No more of the crazy chords. And although maybe he's like Prince. Maybe he's got a vault of hidden material that'll come out over the next 20 years.
Well, I have seen a lot more videos of him and his incredible talent that I haven't. Obviously, they're around, but people don't want to see him until he's gone. But what a talented guy.
Okay, so enough about Eddie Van Halen. I want to give you a list of things that I don't know the truth about. And I want to confess to you that I don't know the truth about them.
All right.
That I don't like admitting this, because when you admit you don't know the truth, then people say, all on both sides will say, like when you hear some of these, you're going to go, you're going to know what I'm talking about. People will go, well, you should know the truth because the science says X clearly, or you should know the truth because freedom, or whatever. So, but I don't know the truth about these things. And the reason I don't know the truth is that I follow the news. And it seems to me sometimes that the more you follow the news, the less you know. What's true. And so I do know the truth about Eddie Van Halen, God rest his soul. But all right. I don't know the truth about global warming.
Okay.
I don't know the truth about the vaccines that we've got coming out.
Okay.
I don't even know the basic truth. I can't figure out how many, what their relationship to the use of aborted fetal cells is. I don't know the truth about how bad the COVID-19 is. I can't figure out exactly how bad it is. I don't know the truth about the election. I don't know the truth about election fraud. I don't know the truth about Russia.
You gotta stop.
I'll stop right there. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I know that, especially with the global warming one, if you go, I don't know the truth about global warming, then you get scolded because you're supposed to know the truth. Because if you cared about science, you would know the truth. But the truth is, I don't know the truth.
Si, you're so far behind things that you're still saying global warming.
Oh, I'm sorry, climate change. I beg your pardon.
There you go.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Right?
Old. Yeah. Because when there's counter evidence, it's hey, it's cold this year or this winter. It's like, climate change, okay? Not warming, change.
Right. But I think there's two things. One, I do feel like I'm pretty good, not great at this, but I feel like at 56 years old, I'm pretty good at resisting the temptation to be certain of things. When O.J. Simpson, remember the whole O.J. Simpson thing?
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, what about O.J. Simpson? And I would have an opinion about O.J. Simpson until one day I realized, I don't know O.J. Simpson. I don't know any of these people. I have no idea. I literally know nothing about this except what the people on CNN say.
Right.
And that is as close to knowing nothing as you can get. So, you know, as far, because that would require trust, and I don't have trust in the in TV news people. So help me out. I don't know the truth. I feel like if I would join a team, you know, if I would be on this team,
yeah,
then there's, you know, there's the truth team over here, and then there's this truth team over here, and then everybody's really certain in those teams, but I can't bring myself to join a team, so I don't know what's true.
Well, we're on the Catholic Answers team.
Yeah, okay.
And so we at least have the comfort of knowing the truth about our faith with certainty.
I do. That's funny, because I do feel utterly certain about that. Jesus is the Lord.
Right.
And I don't have... That's funny. Yeah, there's things that are very, very certain. Mm-hmm. Very certain. Like, I know, you know, the sacraments are true, and they're real, and they have power. And yeah, that's okay.
So that's a nice place to be able at least to start.
Yeah.
Now, as far as what we call reality, as far as the news cycle, et cetera, even news coming out of the Vatican, that's where it's hard to know the truth. And you mentioned your age and your inability to be sure that you know the truth. I really do think that there's a proportional something at work there. The younger you are, the more certain you are that you know the truth. I think the older get,
right,
the wiser you get, and realize that it's really hard to pin down the truth, as Pilate asked. You know, what is it? What is truth?
Right.
And it's hard to come by.
Well, truth. I mean, a truth is what corresponds to what's real. You know, and if it doesn't correspond to what's real, it's not true. So I do think there is a truth, because I believe that there's in reality, you know, and I think that you can't be a Christian and be, you know, just somebody who believes in that the mind creates the world or something like that. You can't, because you have to believe in that there's a real world, and that there are statements that and states of mind that correspond to that real world, and statements and states of mind that don't correspond to that. One of those is called truth. One of those is called falsehood.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as a matter of fact, I think there's a certain way in which here's another thing. I guess there's other things I do know the truth about. For example, I know that I'm male, and I know that my state of mind matches reality on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like when, you know, like some actress says she's an actor now.
Right.
And then CNN says she's an actor now.
Mm-hmm.
I know those people at CNN are idiots, because the truth is she's not an actor.
Well, you can't
now
even call her she anymore, right?
I feel sensitive about the person, that you have to be sensitive to what that person. And so, but I'm not in the presence of that.
That's right.
Person now. And so if someone says to me, my name is Bob, I say, hi, Bob, how you doing? It's not my job to tell you what your name is.
Mm-hmm.
But if CNN knows that a public figure who used to be an Olympic athlete as a man and now says to me, well, no, that person is a woman, I know that CNN is full of baloney.
Yeah.
But it does get, and not only that, it makes me think, well, if CNN will say that about that person, why should I believe anything they say about global warming? Do you see my dilemma?
It's a good point. It's a good point. Yes, I do. Although I think one is sort of, we have biological certainty of a fact, whereas...
Oh, climate change. I meant to say climate change.
See, I was going to let you get away with that one.
Yeah.
But I do think it's difficult. And I think we need to be wary of... and most things in the news, including Catholic news, there's usually two sides, as we call them.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to be careful about being on one side or the other with certainty. I think you and I had talked a little early about something, what I call triangulation. In other words, if you are of a conservative bent, let's say, and you get your news from conservative outlets, at some point I feel like, and I do this personally, you have to look at the other side. You have to tune into the other side just to see what they're saying or not saying. The truth, in my experience, usually lies somewhere in the middle. of the extremes that you encounter.
Right. And not necessarily in the exact middle.
No, not that at
would
all.
Be, then it would be easy to know the truth.
Right, right.
Often much closer to one side than the other,
right.
but it is somewhere in the middle of the extremes right. you've been presented. Right. So you don't have, I mean, what I was hoping as a journalist you would come here and say is, go to this website. They tell you the truth about everything.
Catholic.com.
Well, okay. Other than Catholic.com. Right. But the thing is, this is also one of the things that I have to remind people of is it's like Catholic Answers Live, the radio program.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually not a news show. So they'll say, well, why don't you have this person on and ask them about this? And it's some, you know, cardinal and it's some news
item. Right.
But we don't. We're not a news show. Well, yeah, you should be. Well, but the thing is, we're not.
Yeah, so, we take a lot of heat for not being a news show or being a news apostolate. And that's not what we do.
No, we talk. And I think in part we're part of why we're a really good radio program. For example, is our material is really easy in a certain sense. That like is Jesus the Lord or not? Yeah, he is. It's like we talk about things that got settled in the year 83, you know, or in the year 30 or something, right, you know, like right. we don't talk about things very much that are unsettled today, like global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you should do a show on global warming, but we're not a news show. We don't do news.
Right.
That's just not what we do. And maybe because we just don't want to do the hard work of it. I don't want to have to figure it all out.
Well, I think that people, if they trust us, as so many people do, they like we want to know the truth. So if we hear the truth about the Catholic faith, we want to know the truth about climate change as well. Like,
that's right. There you go.
You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, I do want to know the truth.
We trust you. Can't you?
Yeah.
Can't you discern the truth for us on these other issues as well?
Right. And often you just can't.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, my gut at this point, after I don't know a generation of reporting on climate change. I was trying to remember which one I was supposed to say. it's not as big a risk
right.
as it's presented to us by major right. institutions.
Right.
But it's probably not nothing either. It's probably something going on.
I'm with you right there.
But you know, so
there's been something going on for millennia. You know what I mean? I mean, we do go up and down in terms of the temperature of the earth. We've had ice ages and we've had,
right.
you know, heat ages, et cetera. So I think it's hubris for us to think that we're going to destroy the earth in a generation or something like that. Like, I don't think we have that much power. We have to be good stewards. You know, our faith teaches us that. But beyond that, to the point where you're hurting people's livelihoods and economies, and I don't want to get political here, but you have to try to discern what's the best course, and it's usually not a radical course. It's usually not a radical course one way or the other.
Isn't that true that in life, that usually, I mean, sometimes a radical course, if the Messiah comes to you and says, follow me,
yes.
a radical course is called for. But in general, no, it's
right.
not. It's
right.
not called for. And the other thing about, just to get, because this is a good one to talk about, it's very hard to get at the truth of climate change. Okay, so there's in my town, Oceanside, there's a weather station at the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's been there for 100 years or something, and any weather station in the United States, you can just go online and get the entire record. So I got the entire record for my local weather station
because
I wanted to see what climate change had done in my town of Oceanside, and we're right on the ocean, so you know, you would think the temperatures are pretty constant next to an ocean, and over the course of the 100 years, the variation in temperature was, as far as I could tell, I'm not a mathematician or a statistician, zero. Like, you can't see, and so you say this to a scientist and they go, well, it's not likely you would see it at your, like, what? So that means that I have to trust a mega science, industry. I can't, there's mm-hmm. nothing that I can look, if I can't look at the climate record in my town and see it. If mm-hmm. I, as a matter of fact, I can look at the climate record and not see it, then that means, okay, this is not a simple problem that I can
right.
see.
Right.
I have to trust, you're asking me to trust large institutions, and I have to be brutally honest with you about this, Tim, the United Nations
mm-hmm.
and universities who I don't trust.
Right. right.
Who I habitually don't trust because they habitually do. And media outlets. That's mm-hmm. the other one. So I am in the habit of not trusting these people. I'm sorry. It's a tall order. I'm not saying that global warming is not happening. It might be the most, I'm saying I don't know the truth. And you're asking me, and you're telling me the only way that I can know the truth is to trust you. And I'm saying to you, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
So now I'm stuck. What do I do?
Oh, boy. Isn't that where we are? Isn't that where we are?
But that seems the case about almost everything.
Well, then sometimes I think you have to start looking at a secondary level of news or reality. I read reports over the years of scientists and university scientists coming out and saying, if you do a study that refutes climate change, your funding dries up, you are ostracized, you lose your job. I've never seen someone saying the opposite. Forced.
I said climate change is extreme and they ran me out of the university. No, that never happened.
So
I see what you're saying.
So there's something going on there as well. There's some type of, it seems like, stifling influence if you don't go along with a certain way of looking at things. And I think that's dangerous, whether it's politics or science. And I think it happens in both areas a lot.
Well, and the other thing about media is it's built for hysteria.
Right.
And do you remember in the early 1990s, all the reporting on child molestation in elementary schools and these hidden memories these kids are...
Oh, sure. We had a real famous case here in San Diego.
And people went to prison.
Yeah.
Based on what psychiatrists who were... these are scientists. We have to trust them. What these psychiatrists said.
Right.
And then a few years later, it comes out none of this stuff happened.
Yep.
These people went to prison as child molesters.
Right.
People who were just nice people running preschools. Because people like Anderson Cooper and all the other, the people who are, frankly, kind of panicky people in these, they're dramatic personalities mm-hmm. that are running the media outlets. Mm-hmm. And it pays to be a dramatic personality. That's why they get these big jobs.
Well, you have to remember they thrive on controversy and right. panic, because that's what drives ratings and that's what makes the money.
But having lived through that, and having lived through a million other things like overpopulation, which never happened, and the ALAR problem, which never happened, there's also a resistance to just believing these people in general. Like,
right.
You know what? We've played this game before. I don't feel like playing this time.
Right.
And maybe that happens. And the time you don't play, that's the one. That's the one. But if even one person would say, look, I'm sorry about the way we reported the child molesting thing.
Right.
But this is different. I'd go, okay, well, that's a serious person at least mm-hmm, who can reflect back on that.
Right. Well, that's why I think if we're prayerful and joyful in our faith, we just have to take everything with a grain of salt and know that the foundational beliefs that we have, that the church is divinely guided by the Holy Spirit, that she will be here until the end of time. Then everything else kind of becomes secondary. I don't want to downplay the importance of politics or climate change or anything like that. But, or even in the, we hear disturbing stories about things that happen within the church itself. It's like, you know what? We have the ultimate belief that the church will not fail us. So whatever is happening now, and we shouldn't be complacent about it, we should try to sift our way through whatever confusion gets sown, but we have the promise of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That we have, that our faith is a rock and it will never fail.
Yeah.
So sometimes yes. I have to go back to that when I get upset and I'm looking
definitely.
At the whole horrible things that are going on in the world. It's like, okay, yes, every generation I think has probably thought we're living in the worst times in history.
Right. Right.
So that's another wonderful thing about our faith is the peace that it can give us if we really, joyfully believe what we practice or what we say we believe.
Yeah, but then we got to do things like vote. Where you're like, I'd kind of like to know the truth about things before. In some ways, I feel like my voting life has been made easy over the last. I think it's been about 30 years now since I realized I absolutely had to vote pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
Where I realized no more compromise. I've always been a pro-life person, but there was a moment where I went, "Oh man, this has to be this is the most important thing when I vote."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's been super easy since then. It's been so easy to vote because there's almost always just one
right.
person who's being portrayed as a nut. It's they're always portrayed as either liars or nuts, the pro-life people. Right. I go, well, that's my liar and my nut. You know, like, I don't care how you portray him. That person's pro-life. I'm voting for him.
But see, there again, even within the Catholic Church, we've had confusion with the whole seamless garment idea that there are things that are tantamount there that on the same level, social issues that's on the same level as abortion, which is just is not the case. So you have good Catholics being confused, like, well, gosh, this guy's for all these wonderful social programs and taking care of the poor and everything like that. And even though he's pro-abortion or pro-choice, as they prefer to be called, you can't, there's not an equality there. You can't.
No, but what I'm saying, because I totally agree with you, and I'm ashamed of how old I was when I finally came to that, realization. You should figure that out when you're about, when you cast your first vote, and I didn't. But part of what I'm saying to you is I think we're off the hook as Catholic voters, if we're really truly pro-life, from having to parse things that we really should as mature people be parsing.
Right.
I never have to worry about, I never go, well, what is my policy on education? You know, and I actually think education is a major thing because we've completely screwed it up over the last 100 years in America. Mm-hmm. So, and we've corrupted children so they can't tell what's true and what's false anymore. But I never have to get to the level because it's always like, there's only one guy I can vote for.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I absolutely do.
So I still don't know there's still a million things that need to be worked out that I never really work out because I've got a guy. I've got one pro-life guy. I mean, in California, it's often you don't even get one pro.
That's right.
You kind of get a half pro-life. If I close one eye and look at him sideways, he looks pro-life, then... But I think we're out of the habit of being good citizens for that reason in many ways.
That's a really good point because I have the same ease in voting as you do and I never really analyzed it. But, may we get to the point one day where we have to start parsing and everything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because we have two pro-life candidates or two pro-life parties.
Right. Or we've come to our senses and Roe v. Wade has been overturned.
Please God that day will come.
Yeah.
It does feel like we made progress on that front this year.
It seems like we have in the last several years probably.
Now, am I just being duped about that? Because I felt like we made progress during the Reagan administration, and then we got the Casey decision, you've got Dred Scott, and you've got Casey. I mean, Korematsu probably. Worst decisions ever made. Mm-hmm. Casey's up there, and we got that from Reagan judges. Am I being lied to here? Or do you think it's actually that these judges will do what? I mean, I voted.
Yeah.
Thinking we have to have pro-life, not just pro-life, but judges who won't do just dumb stuff like Roe versus Wade.
Right.
But
it seems like we have a court now that will follow the Constitution and not be coming up with rights that are not in the Constitution itself. It's hard to tell, though. It's very difficult to tell, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, our Chief Justice looked like, the most solid kind of constitutional guy possible, and he doesn't seem to be that. And now he's there for the rest of his life, so.
See, I still trust him. I think he's going to come through for us on a lot of stuff.
That would be awesome.
I think he's going to come through.
But no, I think we have made some progress, and I don't think we're going to take a quantum step backwards just because of the composition of the court. Don't know that Roe v. Wade will be overturned anytime soon, but I don't think that we're going to we're going to have any decisions that are going to erode as far as seems like we've pulled back. And it's a states' rights thing as far as I'm concerned. And a lot of states have started to come to their senses in terms of their legislation and recognizing that, no, it's not okay to kill a baby. And it's a weird thing we have, like the closer it gets to being born, somehow it seems that our objections strengthen. But you know what? At least that's okay. If you don't believe in life at conception, that's a good thing. If the man on the street says, yeah, you shouldn't kill a baby in the third trimester, but maybe in the first, you know what? At least he says in the third trimester, you shouldn't. Because we have too many politicians that say, let's wait till the baby's born.
Oh, I know.
And then decide, which is just, it just shows you how
sick we are.
How sick our society is.
Right, right. And, a lot of times now, and this is part of why I wanted to talk with you about this, is there's this claim that we're in a post-truth. Okay, I'm going to just lay it out for you again. And I realize I'm maybe revealing more about myself than I'm usually comfortable revealing. Uh-oh. But I'm just going to lay it because you're Tim Ryland and I'm going to do it.
It's my son.
There's all these people who are saying now, well, we're in a post-truth world because of the Trump presidency, that Trump just doesn't care about the truth. He's never cared about the truth. And I roll my eyes at that because I think, no, the post-truth stuff started the day the New York Times celebrated the Roe v. Wade decision. As soon as they refused to, when we started lying about a human being, that's when you created the Trump, whatever else you might think of him. And I'm not saying I'm not defending him as a paragon of virtue or honesty.
Right.
He didn't invent this post-truth thing. That right. thing was invented the day of the Roe versus Wade decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I come from.
Well, I can't argue with that. I think it probably even goes earlier than that. I don't know if you know the New York Times didn't cover the Holocaust.
That's a good point. Or you know, and then Walter Duranty with the coverage of he won a Pulitzer Prize for lying for Stalin.
Yeah,
he won, and they still haven't given the Pulitzer Prize back. They still have it. They've never rejected it.
Well,
if you when they go, the New York Times, the winner of 163 Pulitzer Prize, you're like, it 162 because that one of them we know there's 6 million people died, starved to death by Stalin, and your guy lied about it.
Yeah. So you see that the press,
yeah, that's a good point,
hasn't been reliable, you know, in terms of ferreting out the truth for a very long time. But I certainly, within our generation, I think you're right. I think 1973 was the beginning of it. And actually, I personally think the vituperative, just the visceral hatred of Trump that you see so widespread, even among Catholics, et cetera, is part of this sickness we have as a society where emotions rule.
Oh, definitely.
Emotions rule more than logic does. Like people just hate him. And I've heard him say, I don't care what he says. I hate him. I don't care who else we have to elect. It's not Trump. I mean, I really feel like there's a sense in the country, like, I don't care if the election's a fraud. Trump's gone. Honestly, I think some honest Democrats say, you know what? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. There is that. We've become that extreme.
I think we have.
But well, I'm not letting you leave without getting to this next point then, because that we've become that extreme in all of our news reporting, but it's affecting reporting and the way we talk about life within the Catholic Church as well. Mm-hmm. So you have an incredible disparity in, like, if I want to say, well, you know, what's the news? What's Catholic news? And if I go to National Catholic Register and National Catholic Reporter, I have two completely different planets that I'm on. If I go to, you know, Crux News or Crux Now, and or I go over to Taylor Marshall, I get two completely different.
Right.
I'm on two different planets. So again, I have that problem of what is the truth.
It's a very difficult thing. I certainly don't have an answer for it, but I would say, I would give the same advice I do with secular press is do go to both sides. You know, do read both sides if you have of one bent or another. You need to know what the other so-called side thinks about it or believes about it.
Like all the people who and I would tend to be one of these people who are very negative about the National Catholic Reporter because I don't think you should negotiate on the things that they negotiate on.
Yeah.
You know, I think, look, there's some settled issues in the Catholic Church. Stop unsettling them.
Right.
All right. If you go back to 1995 and to today, there's probably no Catholic newspaper that's done better reporting on the sex abuse crisis. They got it right before anybody else.
So God
bless them.
They have gotten it right on a lot of things. And one of their best reporters that went off and started Crux, you know, John Allen, he's of a certain bent, but he's an honest reporter. And so they have done good work.
Well, that's the thing is I consciously blocked out National Catholic Reporter's sex abuse reporting in the 90s because I thought those are those crazy people. I shouldn't have blocked it out. I should have listened to what they were saying.
You know, I was part of a small independent Catholic newspaper here in the 90s that was on stuff like that pretty early. And our local bishop at the time just, you were probably aware of that at some point.
I got there in 96.
Okay.
To working for the bishop.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You people might not know that. So I was the editor of our local Catholic newspaper here and back in 25 years or so ago.
And
But anyway,
probably for both of us, maybe some things are clearer than they were at that time.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not thrilled with everything I did and said.
Right. Well, I'm not either. But I had an editor who was very personally. He had something in his family that made him aware of that of the abuse situation.
Yeah.
And we did cover it locally, and we weren't always 100% accurate because the bishop said don't talk to these people. So we had to do the best reporting that we could. But it's true. I think history, obviously, time gives you a perspective. It's like no, they weren't crazy. They were on it. I mean, there was evil there that no one wanted to see or admit.
Right.
And it's not liberal and it's not conservative. It's evil.
And if you won't read in a cosmopolitan way, willing to listen to what other people have to say, even without losing the core of who you are, or look, when the National Catholic Reporter says, you know, that this moral issue is up for debate, when I know as a Catholic it's not up for debate, they're not going to change my mind on that. But I got to listen to what they say.
Yeah.
I finally feel like I'm in my mid-50s at the point where I have to listen because I have the experience now of having not listened, and I was dead wrong. Wrong.
That's a very good point. So, I know we do have our sources that we trust, and that's just normal human experience, right? I mean, we all know what sources that we can generally trust, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't educate ourselves as to what other sources are saying.
Amen. Amen. All right. I like it. Thanks for coming in and talking about 2020. You want to talk about Eddie Van Halen anymore? Anything else?
I don't know the truth about Eddie Van Halen, to be honest.
No, I don't either.
I might have been an alien.
He seemed like it sometimes. All right. Well, you're very fine. Does it bother you when I tease you? Because I'm kind of. We have a teasing relationship.
Do I look bothered?
No, you don't look bothered. But I know you're also somewhat enigmatic. You have that quality of I'm not sure what's going on inside Ryland.
I love your teasing.
All right.
I wish you teased me more.
Well, I loved both September-October issues this year.
Oh, good.
The first September-October issue and the second September-October.
Folks.
You see what I'm doing?
He's never, ever going to let this one go because I think he was a journalist at one point.
Oh, man. I spelled the word priest wrong on the cover of the diocesan newspaper once in a headline. Not even in a headline.
It's always a headline.
Yeah. Yeah. I spelled the word priest wrong. So believe me, I might tease you, but it comes from a lot of hurt that I've done myself. I'm still living the trauma.
Okay, well, I'm willing to be the dumpster for your hurt.
CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. You should go there. You should become a subscriber. It's one of the finest magazines in the world, and it is definitely the finest magazine of Catholic apologetics on the entire planet. CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Thanks, Tim Ryland.
Thanks for having me.
Don't roll your eyes when I'm bragging about your magazine.
Thank you, Si.
All right. I never thought we would do a Focus episode where we were praising National Catholic Reporter. I didn't know that was going to happen, but it just happened spontaneously. But they did do really good reporting, and they still do on all kinds of things. But the key thing is, it's not that we're trying to endorse this or that website or this or that media outlet. There are, frankly, some media outlets that are better than others. On the average day, be brutally honest with you, I'm much more likely to trust what I find at the Catholic News Agency or National Catholic Register than what I'm going to find at the National Catholic Reporter. That's my habit. My experience of going to those places. But we have to listen to one another. Listening is a key. You can't come to the truth without listening. Sometimes to those who disagree with you violently, listening gets us there where nothing else will. It's tough, though. You got to become the kind of person who can uncover the truth. And that kind of person is a person formed by the Catholic faith and enlivened with the sacraments. I really believe it. Being formed in the Catholic faith and enlivened in the sacraments does make us better able to detect the truth wherever it lies, even when it's hiding from us, sometimes in plain sight because of the confusing way things are being reported in the media. Hey, thanks for joining us. We'd love to get an email from you, focus@catholic.com. focus@catholic.com is where you can reach us. Also, don't forget to subscribe wherever you're getting this podcast. If you subscribe, you'll be notified whenever a new episode comes out, and we'd like to notify you. If you're watching on YouTube particularly, please like and subscribe. I don't know how it works. I don't know how any technology works, but they tell me if you like and subscribe on YouTube, that makes a big difference in growing this podcast. So please do it. And if you wouldn't mind giving us your financial support, you can do that at givecatholic.com. 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 I'm Cy Kellett. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Focus.